Track 1, Ambivalence of Feeling. Welcome to the Home Study course sponsored by the Healthcare Training Institute, homestudycredit.com. This course is entitled Cognitive Techniques for Your Narcissistic Client's Need for Power and Control. Our primary intent for this home study course is to provide quality education to foster your professional growth. The Institute has provided quality education since 1979. Hi, my name is James Brennigan. I will be the narrator of this CD set. We appreciate that you have chosen us as a vehicle for you to earn your continuing education credit. The purpose of this course is to assist you in increasing your knowledge regarding how to treat patients, clients, etc., dealing with narcissism. As each case study is given, if the concepts seem to be applicable to your situation, I encourage you to turn your CD player off and make a few notes regarding the application of the principle to your setting. However, these notes are for your purposes only and are not to be sent to the Institute. Also, each track is very content dense, so feel free to replay the track to review the content either for your own purposes or, if you feel appropriate, play the track in an individual or group session for client education. Also, permission is granted to reproduce this CD. We encourage you to duplicate and give copies of this CD to colleagues, clients, etc., as you deem appropriate. We feel the information on our CDs is valuable. Thus, we have an interest in distributing CDs in as many ways as possible to benefit the greatest number of people who have a need and are receptive to this practical information. The questions in your answer booklet are sequential and deal with a section of the content that preceded it. For this reason, to facilitate the answering of each question, you might read the question from the answer booklet prior to listening to that CD track. By knowing what the question is ahead of time, you will then know the content to listen for that contains the answer. So, just a hint. After you write down the answer to a question in your answer booklet, read on to the next question in order to give you a heads up to listen for the content that contains the answer to the next question. Merely write the correct letter on the corresponding blank line in your answer booklet. Each answer is only used once. Keep in mind, there is nothing tricky or hard about these questions. They are merely intended to verify the playing of this CD. For the purpose of brevity, most generally I will use the term therapists or mental health professional. However, don't let these terms deter you from applying the concepts to your situations. When you hear the word therapists, if your job title is social worker, psychologist, marriage and family therapist, mental health counselor, professional counselor, resident director, program assistant, etc., merely substitute the appropriate term that is the most meaningful to you. In short, don't let my use of the term therapists cognitively set you off track from hearing the content because your job title is school counselor, for example. I will also use the term client for the purposes of brevity. However, if you deal with patients, residents, students, consumers, etc., transpose client for the term that is the most meaningful to you in your work setting. On this CD set, we will discuss such topics as ambivalence of feeling, the 4 degrees of narcissism, lack of feeling, motives, manipulation, trauma, and anger. So let's get started. On a basic level, one could define narcissism as a control of emotional expression, interpretation, and communication. Narcissistic clients will report having no feeling, a result of early attempts to shut themselves off from the rest of the world. Many clients diagnosed with narcissism report a conscious desire to be effective or to perform for the greater good. However, these sentiments are merely tools which the narcissistic client uses to project an image. That image, then, is used to manipulate and overpower those who become susceptible to the false image. This and many other characteristics reveal an ambivalence to feeling underneath the calm exterior of the narcissist. At some point in early development, the narcissistic client developed a negative connotation with emotion and, subsequently, built up his or her defenses. On this track, we will examine 3 aspects of the ambivalence of feeling commonly found in narcissistic clients. These 3 aspects of the ambivalence of feeling in narcissistic clients will include early childhood development, confidence versus self-dissatisfaction, and altruism and manipulation. The first aspect of the ambivalence of feeling occurs in early childhood development. During this stage, the narcissist will often make his or her first conclusions about the nature of emotion and feeling. Most commonly, clients learn and absorb information about feeling from their parents. they develop notions about the power struggle between those who show emotion and those who do not. Most often, clients observe that those role models who suppress emotion have more power and control over those that overtly express their feelings. At this point in the client's life, he or she may feel inner struggles about his or her own feelings he or she is experiencing. Coupled with their own developing associations with the lack of emotion and the lack of power, clients begin to imitate that which they see and wish to emulate. Although they may be experiencing strong emotions as a result of a developing identity, they fight these emotions and resultantly fight their own development. Jonathan, aged 26, reported a great lack of emotion since an early age. I asked if one of his parents exhibited a great deal of emotion, or a considerable lack thereof. Jonathan replied, "Well, it was both, actually. Mom was always on the verge of hysteria, and Dad showed no feeling at all. My dad's coldness and hostility nearly drove my mom crazy. It was really nightmarish at times." As you can clearly see, there was already an ambivalent presentation of emotion during Jonathan's early years. His mother, provoked by her husband's emotional drought, compensated with her own flood of feelings. Jonathan, however, identified with his father and equated will, reason, and logic with sanity and power. Rather than be hysterical, Jonathan instead chose to be unfeeling because, for him, those were the only two choices available. Because Jonathan associated feeling with insanity, I stated to him, "In truth, hysteria, as you put it, describes the state of a person who is out of touch with reality. Since feelings are basically reality of a human life, to be out of touch with one's feelings is a sign that something may be wrong." Think of your Jonathan. What sort of ambivalence to emotion had he or she experienced during their early childhood development? The second aspect of the ambivalence of feeling occurs in the struggle of outward confidence versus inward self-dissatisfaction. Although narcissistic clients may portray an outward appearance of ambition and grandiosity, in fact, their actions are motivated by an inward self-dissatisfaction. Even though they may not experience the same feelings of inadequacy as emotionally balanced clients, subconsciously, each narcissistic client's holds him or herself up to be judged by the outside world. They depend on the positive assessment of others, and because of this, they strive to maintain an image of what they believe to be the socially exceptional standard of society. They control their image almost as rigidly as they control those around them. Nicole, age 32, expressed her self-doubt through her constant diligence to her appearance. She stated, "I never let anyone see me without makeup and my hair done. If I haven't exercised the day before, I won't go outside. If anyone saw me like that, they may get the wrong impression. I can't risk that." Although in our earlier sessions, Nicole exhibited a great deal of confidence, this only came with the bolster of makeup and her projected image. I stated, "The confidence that you related to me last week seems to only be the result of your image, not of yourself. You have created an image of beauty, and that image may give you confidence, but without that image, you feel self-conscious and anxious. In short, you are feeding off the image you created instead of using your own identity to guide you." Think of your Nicole. How does he or she exhibit his or her own self-dissatisfaction? Could it be hidden behind a wall of confidence? In addition to early childhood development and confidence versus self-dissatisfaction, the third aspect of the ambivalence of feeling occurs between the illusion of altruism and the reality of manipulation. Contradictorily, narcissistic clients are often involved in charitable organizations and volunteer programs. They will describe themselves as wanting to serve the greater good. They speak of themselves in the context of an instrument of the greater good. They disembody themselves to the point of becoming merely a thing that is to be used by a larger cause. This is accompanied by a need to manipulate those around them. What many clients describe as doing good is an actual distortion of reality. These altruistic deeds really represent an exercise of power over those who the clients claim to be helping and loving. This type of exploitation through affection often appears in the client's intimate relationships, which are less like mutual exchange of passions and more like a conquest of power. Eric, age 25, could not understand why his girlfriend, Kelly, was leaving him. He stated, "She has everything a girl could want. I attend to her every need. I'm not cruel. I respect her." Kelly, during a private session, stated, "Something is missing from our relationship. He does things to please me, but only physically. When he shows affection, I never feel that it's because he wants to show affection. He feels he has to. I don't even think he knows what love is. Whenever I tried to leave him, he tells me I'm being selfish and that I have it good with him. So after one of those arguments, I assessed the situation and realized that I don't have any good concrete reason to leave. I just feel like I should." As you can see, the image Eric projected of a good and dutiful boyfriend was a means to keep Kelly in the relationship. Without her, he may lose his source of validation. Think of your Eric. How has his or her manipulation and apparent altruism affected his or her relationships? On this track, we discussed three aspects of the ambivalence of feeling commonly found in narcissistic clients. These three aspects of the ambivalence of feeling in narcissistic clients included early childhood development, confidence versus self-dissatisfaction, and altruism and manipulation. On the next track, we'll examine 4 degrees of narcissism. The 4 degrees of narcissism include phallic narcissism, the narcissistic character, the borderline personality, and the psychopathic personality. Question 1. What are 3 aspects of the ambivalence of feeling commonly found in narcissistic clients?